Welcome to Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center. I'm an occupational therapist who pivoted to become a functional medicine practitioner after I was diagnosed with mold toxicity. Now, I help women overcome gut and hormone imbalance naturally with functional lab testing and a root cause approach. In this podcast, I share raw and tangible tips on how to get back in the driver's seat of your own health. So buckle up, because here we go. Hello, welcome to Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center. And today we are going to do another mini-sode. I just want to say thank you so much. I had no idea what to expect when I started releasing these mini episodes where it's just you and me having a relaxed, enjoyable cup of coffee. My first solo episode aired a few days ago, and I have like record-breaking numbers of downloads. So thank you so much for the positive feedback, for listening to the show, and for that just, for me, that shows the value that I bring individually to the podcast that I work so hard on to make a good learning experience for you and an empowering experience for you to take control of your health. Today, we are going to talk about five foods that make PCOS worse. PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's an endocrine condition. So endocrine, if you're new to the human body language, endocrine means hormones. And so it's a hormonal condition. And I would say a lot of the women that I work with, that I serve in my private practice, and then also in Own Your Hormones, which is my program that I have with Rachel Heppner. She's a holistic nutritionist that I partner with. Many of the women we serve in that program have PCOS, or they think they have PCOS, which maybe that's a topic for another episode, is how do you know if you actually have PCOS, if you've been diagnosed with it? Because I think a lot of women are misdiagnosed. Anyways, today we're going to talk about food because PCOS is a condition that is where food is really plays a pivotal role, because the main component, the driving factor of PCOS, and if I didn't mention this before, I'm sorry, PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. So the word cyst is in the title, which is kind of confusing, because the driving factor for PCOS is insulin resistance. And many women are diagnosed with PCOS based off of like a transvaginal ultrasound where they see cysts, but maybe they're not insulin resistant. And so then I would maybe politely question the diagnosis. But inflammation plays a big role. A lot of women with PCOS have difficulty with weight gain, with difficulty in losing weight, chronic stress, because that is a stressful place to be where you're doing all the things and you're just not pushing the needle on your health. And I think that, I think it can feel overwhelming. I think that when you go to the doctor and they diagnose you with PCOS, I think it's one of those situations where it's like, I'm so sorry. Here, you're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life. Take some hormonal birth control and metformin, and we'll see you later. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can 100% put PCOS in remission based on lifestyle factors. And that's why today we're going to talk about diet. Because insulin resistance is the driving factor, we have to address diet first. Are you still searching for some high-quality supplements to help you achieve your health goals? Well, you're in the right place. FullScript Supplements is your one-stop shop for premium, science-backed wellness solutions. With FullScript, you gain access to a vast selection of professional-grade supplements curated by trusted healthcare providers. It's like having a personalized dispensary right at your fingertips. Whether you're looking to optimize your gut health, boost your immunity, or enhance mental clarity, FullScript has you covered. Say goodbye to guesswork and hello to evidence-based choices. What's more is their user-friendly platform allows you to browse, order, and have your supplements conveniently delivered to your doorstep. Empower your wellness journey today by joining my dispensary with FullScript. Inside, you'll have lifetime access to my personally curated protocols that you can use to optimize energy, support your hormones, and finally balance your microbiome. Unlock your full potential and embrace a life of vitality. Visit fullscript.com/welcome/theholistichouse for lifetime access to 15% off all orders. And I know this link is a mouthful, so I will definitely provide it for you in the show notes. All right, I'll see you on the other side of healthy. So are you eating some of these foods that will worsen PCOS? We are going to discuss that in this mini episode. Before I dive into the actual topic, I want to say, and I'm going to keep these really short and sweet, and I apologize too. I am going off of 4 hours of sleep, and they were not consecutive 4 hours last night. My little one is in that 10-month sleep regression, and I feel like my brain is in a cloud today. So I genuinely hope that this makes sense for you. I didn't want to skip the episode because it's really important for me to show up for you consistently, and even when that means recording an episode on like zero sleep. So just wanted to throw that out there that this mama is tired. I'm tired. Okay, so how does diet affect PCOS? So there's no cure for PCOS. And the reason I'm going to use the word cure is because that's what traditional medicine uses. Cure, really, when you use that word, you identify the word cure with there's some sort of magical potion. There's some sort of magical pill you can take to make this thing go away. Well, there's no cure for it. You can put it into remission by doing certain things to love on your hormones. The way you metabolize your hormones, right? You're not married to the way you metabolize your hormones, by the way. We have agency over that. So there's no cure for PCOS. There's definitely ways to mitigate the symptoms of PCOS and put PCOS into remission. And I think the place you want to start at, if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm pretty sure I have PCOS, the place you want to start with is food. So some foods are inflammatory. And when I say inflammatory, I'm talking about those processed foods. I'm talking about refined carbohydrates, refined sugars, which is not just bad news for you in general, right? You don't want those in general. But if you have PCOS, it's even worse because they contribute to systemic inflammation, which you're already dealing with when you have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's just making a bad problem worse, right? It's adding insult to injury. And on top of that, because we have this insulin resistance factor, you're going to have trouble maintaining your weight and you're going to have trouble losing weight when you're trying to lose weight. So let's just rehash. I know I've talked about this in a previous episode, but just in case you didn't listen to it, let's talk about what insulin resistance actually is. So your pancreas, the beta cells in your pancreas, if we're going to be specific, produces a hormone called insulin. Yes, insulin is a hormone. And insulin, its job is to help move the glucose. Glucose is another word for sugar. Helps to move the glucose in your blood into your cells so that it can be used as energy. And here's the problem with insulin resistance is that enzyme is not binding to the substrate well. It's getting exhausted, and therefore you're signaling your pancreas to produce more insulin that is then floating around in your bloodstream along with all that extra glucose. And that's how we get insulin resistance. So here are a list of foods that you want to reconsider when addressing insulin resistance in the scope of PCOS. Because insulin resistance, like we already said, will make it more difficult for you to manage your PCOS symptoms. And I want you to leave this episode encouraged because these foods are really easy to replace with healthier alternatives. And we'll talk about that too. So first and foremost, the first thing you want to reconsider is soft drinks. So maybe where you're from in the country, you call it pop. Maybe where you're from, you call it soda. Maybe you are like me and you call it a soft drink because there's no alcohol in it, right? A hard drink has alcohol. Soft drinks don't. Whatever you call it, you know what I'm talking about. Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, ginger ale, all the things, okay? When you consume those sugary drinks, you are looking at like 40 to 60 grams of sugar per serving. Holy smokes. If you are an adult woman, you want to average about 26 grams of sugar per day. So that's like potentially almost twice your daily serving of sugar from a beverage. So we're not even talking about like the good sugars in your fruits and vegetables and all that jazz. We're talking about a freaking soft drink. And that's terrible for anybody. I don't recommend anybody drink soft drinks, but especially if you have PCOS. And why is that? Like we just said, the sugar causes your blood glucose to spike, which worsens those metabolic related symptoms of PCOS. So we're calling soda public enemy number one, but it's not the only thing that you want to avoid. You want to think about other things like your sweet tea. What are you putting in your sweet tea? Are you putting, and maybe this is a conversation for another day, but are you putting Splenda or Equal or some of those sugar substitutes that are equally as bad for you as actual cane sugar? And I would even take it a step further. And I'm sorry that if this is sounding a little technical, I'm really working hard to keep this high level. But my hesitation with sugar is deeper than it just being a blood sugar issue. We spray glyphosate, which is in the weed killer Roundup, on sugar as a desiccant. And so if you are drinking a soft drink like Pepsi or Coke, that is not organic, right? They're not using organic ingredients. You are not only consuming high amounts of sugar, but you're consuming high amounts of sugar that have been sprayed with glyphosate. And glyphosate has an interesting connection to PCOS, which again, I want to keep this high level, but I'll just say briefly, glyphosate is really good at inhibiting the aromatase enzyme. And the aromatase enzyme is needed to convert testosterone into estrogen. And we know that one of the primary factors of PCOS is high levels of testosterone. And so that, to me, that begs the question, well, why do we have high levels of testosterone? Is it because we're not converting into estrogen like we should be? I think that's a fair question to ask. So things we want to stay away from besides your Coke and Pepsi, this also means like that pink drink from Starbucks, which I don't really know what it is, but I see pictures of it on the internet and I'm just like, I don't know. You want to be considerate about juices. A lot of juices have high amounts of sugar in them. And you want to stay away from really drinks that are not organic with high levels of sugar. So what could you reach for instead? What are some healthy alternatives? You could do unsweetened tea. You could do unsweetened black tea, unsweetened green tea. You can choose a healthy sparkling water. There are a few companies out there that make some clean sparkling waters. You know what I personally do is being a breastfeeding mama, I put electrolytes in my water. If I want something that has a taste to it, I grab those I think they're called Element. It's LMNT. Those packets in the summertime, they have a flavor called grapefruit that is delicious. You just sprinkle some of that in and you're getting some really good potassium, sodium, and magnesium. And you have a drink that tastes delicious. Great alternative to like a fruit juice or something that's going to be really sugary, as there's no sugar in these products. And LMNT uses really clean ingredients. So does Realite, which is an electrolyte mix from Redmond's Real Salt. So those are two alternatives you can think of, or you can consider. You could consider doing coconut water. Coconut water is really good for your adrenal health. You could do even an adrenal cocktail where you combine, I would say, organic orange juice with some cream of tartar and some salt, some sea salt, and make an adrenal cocktail to love on your adrenals. And adrenals help with energy production. So if you're feeling like a sluggish in terms of your energy production, like maybe I am this morning because I didn't get to sleep last night, that might be a good option for you. Okay. So that was our first kind of, we're going to call that food. Our first food to maybe reconsider or avoid is soda. Second food to reconsider or avoid is processed snacks. What do I mean by this? Open up your pantry and scan around. Anything that is packaged in a box is processed. Here's my litmus test. If your food has a nutrition label on it, is it really nutritious, right? When you go to the store and you buy an apple or you buy a banana, there's no nutrition label on that because it's real food. Right? They don't have to sell you on that this is good for you. They don't have to give you an ingredient list. You know what the ingredients are. It's a banana. It's a carrot. It's an apple. So we've got some homework when we buy processed goods, right? We have to read the labels. We have to see, do they have refined wheat flour, or are they putting iron in your food, which you don't want for, you don't want your products fortified with iron, right? That's iron filings. It's not the same as heme iron that your body really needs and thrives off of. So anything that comes out of a bag or a box, there's a really high likelihood that that is processed. So what can you look out for? You can look out for, is this USDA certified organic? Because if it is, then we know, okay, glyphosate is ideally not in this box. And yes, there are exceptions to that. This is not a good place to have that conversation. That's a really nuanced conversation. Again, trying to give high level advice, USDA organic is probably the best way to go if you're going to consume a boxed or bagged good. You also want to probably limit your exposure to gluten, especially if it's not going to be organic. Why? Because like our cane sugar, we spray glyphosate on our wheat as a desiccant to dry it out so we can harvest it faster. And this is the first time we're really seeing glyphosate sprayed directly on our food, right? So glyphosate, again, that weed killer Roundup, when it first came out, we were spraying it on our crops early in the harvest, so that we could kill the weeds and that the crops could get the majority of the sunlight. But that's not the case for wheat. And I would argue that that's why we are seeing a lot of celiac today, because we are spraying this directly on our food before we eat it, which is really gross. So we want to stay away from processed snacks. So processed foods, some good examples are like crackers, chips, cookies, chips. Oh, I said chips, sorry. Those sorts of things. Things that are going to have a lot of unhealthy fats, like industrial seed oils, which is probably, again, another conversation for another day. So what can you do instead of processed foods? I already mentioned like the priority number one, which would be grab some fresh fruits and veggies. Go to the produce aisle in your grocery store and see what looks appealing to you. Do I feel like a pear today, or a peach, or some strawberries? You can consider non-starchy veggies like spinach, cauliflower, broccoli, or you can even go get a nice bag of organic nuts like walnuts, cashews, almonds. I love, love, love snacking on nuts. So those are three alternatives that you can consider that I think we can all agree on are yummy. I think most people love eating, munching on fruits and vegetables and nuts and non-starchy veggies and nuts. So those are three alternatives for you to consider outside of processed snacks. Okay, so we talked about we want to stay away from sodas and sugary drinks. We want to stay away from processed snacks. What else do we want to stay away from if we have PCOS and we're trying to manage it naturally? Are you tired of feeling sluggish and unwell? Are you ready to take control of your health and embark on a journey to cleanse your body from environmental toxins and parasites? Welcome to my Parasite Cleanse course, your ultimate guide to revitalizing your well-being. In this transformative course, you will gain essential knowledge through 5 comprehensive modules. Module 1 will empower you to recognize the signs and symptoms of a parasite infestation, bringing you clarity to your health journey. Module 2 will give you a thorough and crucial pre-cleanse steps, focusing on detoxification and drainage, laying a solid foundation for an effective cleanse. In Module 3, you'll learn safe and effective techniques to eliminate parasites, promoting a healthier and happier you. Module 4 explores lifestyle and nutrition practices that will complement your cleanse, ensuring your body thrives throughout the process. And then Module 5 is all about post-cleansing. I'm going to equip you with strategic approaches to maintain your newfound vitality and well-being. But wait, that's not it. There's more. I've included some amazing bonuses to enhance your experience. Learn about pregnancy and breastfeeding considerations in my special bonus module. Also, discover products that boost your cleanse journey, giving you that extra edge. As a special treat, receive a step-by-step guide on parasite elimination alongside lifetime access to prescription-grade cleanse products. Plus, to support your detox and drainage journey, you'll receive my exclusive recipe ebook. Are you ready to say goodbye to feeling sluggish and reset your metabolism? Enroll in my Parasite Cleanse course today and embrace a healthier and happier you. click the Parasite Cleanse course link in the show notes and use the code PODCAST for $25 off your course as a special thank you for being a loyal listener. I really hope this serves you well. Back to the show. Please don't hate me. We want to stay away from boxed cereals. For the same reason that we want to stay away from processed foods, boxed cereals are junk food. They are not good for you, no matter how they market it to you. They are not good for you. And here's why. Boxed cereals, for the most part, and I'm sure there, again, are exceptions to this. I know One Degree from Farmers We Know, that brand has some okay options. For now, I hate to mention brands because brands can always change what they decide to put in their products. And then this episode wouldn't age well. So I'm just going to put that out there too. I don't like to give out brands. But box cereals are terrible because yes, they're 100% processed. They're made in a factory. And a lot of times they are fortified. And the reason they are fortified is because the natural vitamins and minerals that would have been in the product prior to processing have been removed during the processing process and therefore need to be fortified with B vitamins and all the things, right? You can list all of the vitamins and minerals that are fortified in cereals. I think the most offensive ones are the B vitamins because they put a synthetic form of B vitamins in. They put folic acid. And a lot of my gals with PCOS also have a little something called the MTHFR gene mutation, which means they are poor methylators. And this impacts their ability to absorb B vitamins and process them properly. And folic acid, a synthetic form of folate, that's the B vitamin that it mimics. Not only can your body not process folic acid when you have MTHFR, but it also folic acid will block the blood brain, the receptors in the blood brain barrier from being able to process true folate. So if you're having box cereal and then spinach at the same time, you've just canceled out that spinach because your body's not able to process it because of the box cereal that you ate. So it's really unfortunate. And then a lot of cereals are fortified with iron. And I think that that's a terrible idea. If you're not familiar with my work, I'm a big fan of Morley Robbins, and I think he has hit the head on the nail when it comes to talking about iron and how we really don't need to get iron through our diet because our body has this iron recycling program. It's called the reticuloendothelial system, and basically what it means is 95% of your body's recommended daily intake, your RDI of iron, your body's making on its own. And you really the only and the best way to get excess iron out of your body is through blood loss. So if you don't have regular periods because you have PCOS, you're probably not losing blood regularly. And iron could be a problem for you. You could have excess iron. And maybe you're listening to me and you're like, yeah, Steph, but my labs show that my iron is low. Well, then my question to you is, where are you storing that iron in your body if you're not storing it in your blood? Is it in your liver? Where is it hiding? Because it's not leaving your body. So I would really, really be hesitant to consume boxed cereals if you are struggling with PCOS for those two main reasons. There are more reasons that I would stay away from them. But I think for time's sake, I just want to talk about those two. So what are some alternatives you could do instead? You could do some organic yogurt with berries. You also want to pay attention to the sugar content in the yogurt, but organic Greek yogurt, I think, is a great source of protein, and protein is really important when you have PCOS. You could do oatmeal. I love adding protein powder to oatmeal. And for me, that's really satiating to have that protein. I think oatmeal is a good source of fiber. So if you have difficulty with constipation, that could be something that helps you out there in the fall time, since we are entering fall right now. I love baking apples and putting cinnamon on them and some grass-fed butter and then mixing that in my oatmeal. It tastes so, so delicious. Even adding like some nutmeg and some other fall spices just to kind of get into the season is really great. You could have some eggs. You could do scrambled eggs, hard-boiled eggs, or even something like avocado toast, where you have like really healthy fats. And then you could do like a brown rice bread with it. Or if you tolerate gluten well, they do make organic glyphosate residue free certification. So you can do USDA and glyphosate residue free. They do make breads like that, where you know you're getting an organic, healthy source of wheat that's been tested for glyphosate and is negative. So that's an option for you. Okay, so we talked about soda, we talked about processed snacks, we talked about boxed cereals. Now let's talk about another one that, again, you might want to pinch me for, but I'm sorry, please don't shoot the messenger. If you are struggling with PCOS, you probably want to stay away from fried foods. Most fried foods are high in something called trans fats, and that will disrupt your body's ability to use the insulin that your pancreas is producing. And that will also worsen the inflammation in your body. So think of trans fats and systemic inflammation as buddies. When you have chronic inflammation and it's systemic, it can damage healthy cells and cause scarring and can lead to things that we don't want, like type 2 diabetes and the big C. Okay, so what can we do instead? Here are a list of foods to help you reduce systemic inflammation. So high fiber foods like broccoli, and I really like brassica family foods. So broccoli, Brussels sprouts, anything that has that kind of sulfur smell to it, is going to be really good at helping your body metabolize hormones. It has a compound in it called sulforaphane that's really, really great at detoxifying and eliminating excess hormones. So I really like that. Things you could do instead, you could have some fish. You could have some fermented foods like sauerkraut or kimchi. I really like fermented foods. Yes, these do not replace fried foods. I get it. They are not going to taste the same. They are not going to give you the same experience, but they are going to be a better fit for you if you are trying to manage PCOS naturally. Okay, and here's the last one we're going to talk about today. And I think we can all agree on this one. Deep breath. We're going to talk about alcohol. So I think everybody can agree that alcohol is best for you in moderation, right? Nobody out there is going, well, I think you should have, you know, 5 beers every day. No. I think we're all on the same page there. But I think if you have PCOS, you need to be extra careful with alcohol for a couple of reasons. So insulin and hormones from the adrenal and pituitary glands work together to keep your blood sugar levels balanced. Alcohol disrupts these hormones. And it makes it harder for you to manage your blood sugar levels. And remember, when we started this episode, we identified that the primary driving factor of PCOS is insulin resistance. So I think, you know, there's no better substitute for this one. This is just your neighborhood friendly reminder to consume alcohol in moderation. And when you do consume it, consider consuming organic sources. I know I continue to use the word organic, but wheat. So beer comes from like wheat, barley, rye, right? We already identified that wheat is highly, highly sprayed with glyphosate as a desiccant at harvest season. So not early in the season, but late in the season, right before it comes in contact with your mouth. So keep that in mind. There are organic beers on the market now. Give them your business. If you want a beer, that's fine. Drink it in moderation and be sure to drink organic. Same with wine. Wine, you have to be careful about. There are so many toxins in wine outside of like the just general alcohol content. So I would, again, encourage you to find a USDA organic wine. Whenever I need to buy a bottle of wine for like an event or something, I go to Costco. Costco has a $10 bottle of organic wine that tastes delicious that I never get a, I don't want to use the word hangover because it's not like I'm drinking to like overconsume, but I never feel icky the next day after having a glass of that wine. I feel pretty good. So something to consider if you are a savvy shopper and you don't want to pay organic prices, but you still want wine. Trader Joe's used to have like a $5 bottle of organic wine. I think it was called Greenfin, but I have not seen that lately. So maybe they've discontinued that. I'm not sure. Okay. So what's the bottom line? So the bottom line, if you struggle with PCOS, you want to stay away from sugary and processed foods. They are particularly problematic for you. Pay close attention to your diet because this can significantly impact your body's ability to deal with and manage PCOS. I think we're very fortunate that we live in a time where there are so many like better for you alternatives out there that you can choose from that will actually help your body to heal naturally. And you don't have to go in like all like with these crazy diets. Like, I'm not recommending that. I'm just asking you to reconsider these five foods. So what were these five foods? We talked about sugary drinks like sodas, processed snacks like your chips and your cookies and your crackers, boxed cereals, fried foods, and alcohol. So you have so many other things to choose from. I feel like that list is definitely manageable. If you are listening and you're like, I think I have PCOS, but I'm not sure, I would invite you to take my free hormone health assessment right now. You can click and download this from the show notes. It's an easy questionnaire that you can pinpoint. Okay, what is my problem? Is testosterone my problem? Is estrogen my problem? Is cortisol my problem? And then based on your score, I give you both nutrition advice and supplement advice that you can take today to start immediately controlling your hormones naturally. Hey there, lovely listener. We are taking a little breather from our show to dive into something that's not just important, but also incredibly cozy. So picture this, you, a delightful candle, and some heart-to-heart chat with your favorite gal pal about minimizing toxin exposures while giving a nod to a local small female-founded business. Now let me tell you, I have been on the quest for non-toxic candles that tick all the boxes for years. Yes, you heard me right, years. I'm all about that sweet blend of aroma and ambiance that only candles can accomplish. You know, the kind that sets the mood, the vibes, the overall atmosphere. But here's the kicker. It's been a challenge to find candles that align with my standards. I remember feeling a little bit lost in the candle department after my little dip with mold toxicity, and it seemed like there was nothing safe out there. And boy, did I miss the warm glow and soothing scents. Thankfully, I stumbled upon this game changer. Have you ever heard of Sea Love candles? These little beauties not only smell divine, and let's admit it, they're super cute too, but they're also a dream come true for anyone looking to keep things toxin-free and eco-friendly. Let me share a heartwarming story. So Stacy, the brains behind Sea Love candles, started this wonderful venture because her hubby had asthma and those synthetic fragrance candles just weren't his jam. He couldn't tolerate them. So she took matters into her own hands and created Sea Love candles. And guess what? Sea Love candles is a small batch haven tucked away on the picturesque coast of Maine. And I can't stress this enough. Choosing them over those big box giants, Bath and Body Works, isn't just a choice, it's a statement. Quality and sustainability, check and check. So head on over to sealovecandles.com, that's S-E-A-L-O-V-E, candles, C-A-N-D-L-E-S.com. And when you indulge in these little pockets of joy, use the code HolisticHouse10, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C-H-O-U-S-E, and then the number 10, all one word. You'll get an awesome 10% off your order as a big old thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting the heartbeat of a small business. I don't know about you, but the warm embrace of candlelight at night is my happy place. Heck, I even light one up on rainy days at my desk. It's an instant mood lift. And I'm pretty sure it'll sprinkle a little bit of magic into your life too. So again, head on over to Sea Love Candles and use the code HolisticHouse10 for 10% off your order. You can also find a link to Sea Love Candles in the show notes if you are driving and you cannot write this down. All right, my wonderful folks, let's shimmy on back to our show and keep this good vibe train rolling. If you go down that route and you feel like, man, I'm missing a puzzle piece here, I'm still struggling, reach out to me. I will also post a link in the show notes for you to look at Own Your Hormones. This is a self-paced course that you can take in your own time to learn more about your hormone health and ways that you can manage naturally. We do a deep dive into things like energy optimization. We do a deep dive on blood glucose management, your gut and your liver health, and the role that that plays in your hormones. We talk about hormone-friendly biohacking. This course is just jam-packed with information to empower you to make better decisions. Along with that, this course also gives you access to myself and the holistic nutritionist that I partner with, who is a hormone expert in the nutrition space, Rachel Heppner. We have a program, like I mentioned, on your hormones, that you have the self-paced portion, but you also get functional lab testing. We give you a Dutch test. We interpret that Dutch test. We teach you how to interpret the Dutch test so you understand what your lab results mean. That is, side note, a very big pet peeve of mine. I literally get people reaching out to me every day saying, hey, I had this Dutch done, you know, last year, and I have no idea what it means. Big red flag for me. You should always know what your lab results mean. So you leave our meeting fully understanding exactly what your test means and what you need to do next, because we write you a customized protocol. So you get two clinicians with eyes on your test, writing you a customized protocol to heal your hormones naturally. And Rachel herself has PCOS. So she understands firsthand exactly what you are going through. So I love partnering with her. I actually have the opposite hormone problems. So that's why we make such a good team, because I can really speak to and understand the estrogen side, and she can really speak to and understand the testosterone side from our own personal experience outside of course, our clinical licenses to practice. So if that interests you, please check out the show notes for more information. We would love, love, love to work with you. If you enjoyed this episode, think of one friend that you can send this to. Think about one girlfriend that has mentioned, hey, you know what? I think I have PCOS and it's really tough. I feel like I'm not heard by my physician, or I feel like I'm misunderstood. Send this episode to her. This can help her. Okay. All right. I think that is all I have for today. Thank you for joining me again for this mini-sode. It's always good spending time with you. I love, love, love our time together. And hopefully I made sense today, even though, like I said, I'm going on, I think, 4 hours of sleep, and they were not consecutive hours. And that is really hard, I think, for anybody to function on. So I apologize again if any of my words did not make sense today. Love to connect with you. Be sure to find me on Instagram at Stephanie Center Wellness. Visit my website, stephaniecenterwellness.com. And I will see you next week. All right. Take care, everyone. Be well and be kind.